Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Wednesday, December the 31st, 2025. The last time we'll be saying that. It is New Year's Eve, 2025. 15 and a half minutes past the hour here. And the last day of 2025, can you imagine? It has come 2031. 95. And of course, we've got the big Buckeye game going on tonight. Nobody's going to want to miss this. It is the Ohio State Buckeyes taking on the Miami Hurricanes. That will be 7:30 tonight on ESPN. Nobody will want to miss that for love nor money. Now, a little bit of snow fell last night. That's not horrible. I do have to say this morning that some of the parking lots are a little rough, but more or less the roads seem to be okay, or at least the main thoroughfares. 95 was okay this morning. The Boulevard was pretty much okay. Delaware Avenue was not bad at all. So thank goodness the roads seem to be cleared. The parking lots still a little snow covered, but I'm not even sure if we got an inch last night, to be honest. It doesn't look like a whole lot of snow fell. So we've got a big program for you today here on New Year's Eve, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to talk to a few people as we round out the year that was 2025. Can you imagine? Tomorrow it will be 2026. Now, I do want to remind everybody, we will not be on the air tomorrow. That's one of the days we take off every year. So listen to some of our favorite programs tomorrow morning, the best of programming here on WGH Talk Radio. You can listen to that tomorrow morning. But we will be back on Friday morning, new year, new shows, new stuff to talk about. Now, this game tonight, Miami versus Ohio State, I'm hearing this could be a rough one, especially after the Buckeyes came off their loss to Indiana in the Big Ten Championship back in early December. What will happen tonight? We don't know. 7:30 ESPN. It is the Cotton Bowl. It will be taking place in Texas, so the temperature will be nice, but that all goes down tonight. Now, I think we're going to have a special guest here momentarily. I'm going to check on that. So we are going to take a quick timeout and come back with much more here on the program right after this. Don't go anywhere.
We're having fun every day on Now with Scott Spears. Just ask legendary comedian Phyllis Diller.
Why hasn't the world found Scott and put him on a pedestal? And, after all, Larry King can't live forever.
Or legendary actress Jane Meadows.
That's one of the reasons I tell you you're the best of all the interviewers. And that's why I love you and your show, dear.
Actress and singer Marla Gibbs.
As long as you breathe, you'd better believe it's never too late for life. So drop all your fear, 'cause as long as you're here, it's never too late for life.
Or the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Hello there. How are you? Scott Spears, Ted Williams here in Columbus, Ohio. And Scott, I just want to let you know I love you as an individual. I always refer to Marion as being the home of WCMH's Bob Nunnally, and now I refer to it as the home of Scott Spears.
That's Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Friday.
And we're back here on WGH Talk Radio. It is New Year's Eve, 2025. 19 minutes, coming up on 20 minutes past the hour. Our special guest might join us, may not join us. I'm not really sure. depending on the traffic, I guess, at this point, of wherever they are. Could be in a whole different state at this point. I really don't know. So we'll see if we get that call in. But joining us here, I see Bob Welsh has made a surprise appearance this morning here on New Year's Eve. You never know what's going to happen. Bob, how's it going?
Very good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Live or what?
You just drove. Oh, yeah. Well, at least one of them's live. Just strolling through Marion on New Year's Eve morning at 7:30?
That's right.
Yeah. Why wouldn't you be?
Why wouldn't you be? I mean, it's not time to go to bed yet.
No, no. Are you excited for New Year's Eve?
I am. I'm already. You know, you can't have New Year's Eve without toast.
Without toast.
Or without a toast.
Without? Oh, a toast. A toast. Oh, well, I'm excited here. So what do you toast with on New Year's Eve morning?
Well,
as opposed to New Year's Eve
evening. Being that it's a morning show and everything, coffee.
Coffee, a morning coffee toast to kick off the morning.
But not just regular coffee, it's New Year's Eve.
It's New Year's Eve coffee. So, whoa!
So you got to have Irish coffee.
Irish coffee. I think your whipped cream, Bob, in the aerosol can might have taken a... But the weather might have affected
might
that.
Might have taken a day off here.
Might have taken a day off. Well, it is New Year's Eve.
Just eager to get out.
Wonder what happened to the old aerosol can there. Did you shake it well before
I
you...
I shook it all the way down.
Well, you might want to shake it again. I don't know.
I had my hanging out the window there, and I was shaking.
It smells like some kind of bug spray.
It sounds like bug spray.
It smelled a little like bug spray there. I don't know what's going on. It's very interesting, though.
Have you had Buckeye Guy in yet for the...
No, we have not had... you know, I don't know. We tried to call him. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah, well, I'm assuming he's down in
I would think he'd be in Texas. Did you? Was that pre-used aerosol whipped cream, Bob?
It might have been left from last year. I don't know.
Well, it looks like it's seen better days there, the aerosol whipped cream. We do. We always have straws in the studio. That's very important. People forget straws. All right. So what do we have here for the New Year's Eve toast?
You haven't taken out the trash yet. What is it?
Oh, no. See, that one's empty over there. We did take out the trash.
All right.
Oh, yeah. This is just the one closest to me. So I use this one more often than any other.
Irish coffee.
Irish coffee. So this is coffee with...
A little flavoring.
Little eye-opener here this morning on WGH Talk Radio on this New Year's Eve 2025. What do we have there?
I don't want to upstage Buckeye Guy, but I have...
Well, no.
I have my Cotton Bowl predictions.
All right, here we go.
And as you can see, it's a Cotton Bowl.
This is a Cotton Bowl. It is an actual... now, what brand is this? Is this Dixie? It's a Dixie Bowl... paper bowl.
Well, that's
with,
only fitting for cotton, you know.
Well, I think so. With cotton, I guess, taped around the rim of the bowl.
Glued.
OSU.
Glued.
Is it glued? Oh, like Elmer's glue? Okay.
Glue stick.
Well, this might be our prediction this morning.
It wasn't Elmer's glue stick, actually.
You know, Buckeye Guy might have gotten arrested. Remember the last time he was out of state down in Georgia? He got pulled over on the side of the road.
Fly? Do we know?
You know, I really don't know. I only talked to him for a little bit yesterday. OSU 35, Miami. Does that say Miami?
M-I-A.
Miami.
Missing in action.
Miami 13. I don't know if the spread's going to be that big, Bob.
Oh, yes.
No, I don't know. I don't know about the spread being that big. Maybe. You never know. That's quite a spread, though. You know, OSU coming off that Big Ten loss, of course they like to avenge when they don't win something, but you never know.
You never know.
And I don't know what Buckeye Guy's prediction would be, but...
I'm thinking it's really similar, because, I mean, OSU has very rarely let more than 13 points go to the defense, and they're gonna want to really put on a show here.
You think they're going to want to put on a show here this morning? Or tonight, I guess it would be. 7:30 ESPN. You know, a lot of people are upset about that because a lot of people have discontinued their cable and that this game is not on 4, 6, or 10. A lot of people are upset that it's on ESPN.
Well, I think they're forcing people to go out and socialize.
Oh, so you go to the bars
you
tonight.
You go to the bars. I didn't want to say that.
Well, people don't really go to the bars anymore, though. You know, I don't even know if most bars have televisions. I know they go to...
I don't know what bars you're going to.
And Marion here. Now, you go to Applebee's, but I don't know if I really consider that a bar. Now, people will go to BW3's. I don't know if I really consider that a bar. Those will be the two places that I think will be hopping most tonight. But I think, I don't want to speak out of turn here, but I think the OK probably will be showing the game. Now, I would consider that a bar, but a good restaurant as well.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know. Other than that, where do you go with a television? Maybe some of the others have them. But will they have ESPN? Are they hooked up to cable? I don't know.
Well, that's the reason you're going. If
they'll get the app.
ESPN, they'll
get the app.
They're not getting my business.
Well, I have to take a drink here, Bob. So tell us about your New Year's. We have a call-in coming here momentarily.
All right. Yeah. Well, my New Year's will start around 8 o'clock tonight watching the Cotton Bowl.
Watching the Cotton Bowl. That's good. Coffee.
It's
Irish.
Irish.
We'll toast...
We'll toast
by the time the morning's done this morning. This should be a very interesting interview coming up, though, by the way.
I didn't mean to horn in so you can kick
No. We have 2 hours here this morning, Bob. Do you got somewhere to be?
I heard you yesterday. You're trying to call some dead people or something like that, or cemetery people or something.
You know, I never did hear from them. If I needed a plot, it's not coming through right now. Those people over on, where was that, High Street? I think it was High Street. So yeah, and there's apparently trouble in the county. I hate to bring it up, but yes. Apparently they passed a deficit budget over there in the county too. You know, and I'm not even sure how that happened. I always thought the county had a pretty substantial amount of money. I haven't heard of the county passing a deficit balance in years.
Hmm.
So I'm not really sure. Maybe we'll get a little understanding of that this morning. But no, we'll have time here and there because obviously some guests aren't showing up. So you never really know. How do you like that big Santa Claus back there?
I've heard tales about this in the last 2 days about the big Santa Claus.
Yeah, how about that? How about that?
Drinking Coke and everything there. It obscures the skyline there. It's big.
Yeah, but that's the real Santa Claus. That's the Coca-Cola Santa Claus from many years ago. But it doesn't really strike me as a Coke ad. Does it really strike you as a Coke ad?
Well, yes.
Really?
Well, because, I mean, it is traditional. It's been around for, 70 years. And he's holding a bottle of Coke. He's got this big, Coke symbol down here and everything. So, yeah, it's a Coke ad.
Okay, it's a Coke ad, but it just doesn't strike me that way, I guess.
All right, well, maybe you're just too religious.
Well, he's got a Coca-Cola in his hand,
but a
very small one. And then the only other thing that says Coke about that is the ornament at the bottom,
which is bigger than his face, by the way. You know,
not much.
You know, when you say ornament, you're thinking a little thing about baseball size or something like that. But no, this is a humongous ornament that would, if you put it over Santa's face, it would obscure his face. It is that big.
Well, it is, but so are the other ornaments.
You need to get a television in here to see people.
But there are two other ornaments down there that would not cover his face.
No, they wouldn't. No, that's because they don't even say Coca-Cola.
No, but they're just white and green ornaments, I guess.
They have a wave to it, though, you know.
It's fascinating, isn't it?
It is.
I think it really adds to the studio. We might leave it.
I think you've done very well in decorating the studio here.
Many people have referred this season to our studio as a cozy studio.
I think
is that what that means?
That means small, yeah.
Because people will just tell you. They'll say small.
Small.
If they want to say small, they'll say small.
But maybe they're trying to be polite to you.
No, they certainly wouldn't start now.
They wouldn't start.
No. After all these years, they certainly wouldn't start with politeness now. All right, well, here comes our big news interview. So put your headset on there, Bob, and listen to this thing. This should be very good. All right. And as we continue along here this morning on our New Year's Eve program 2025, we are very proud to be joined by somebody who has joined us in the past. He is a former representative here in the state of Ohio, as well as a former candidate, Republican candidate, in the Republican primary, if I can get it out here, for governor in 2022. Want to talk with him about some of the things that have went on in the past year, as well as where we're headed in 2026 with the gubernatorial election on its way. What a pleasure it is to welcome back to these microphones Jim Renacci. Representative Renacci, how are you?
Good morning, Scott. I'm doing well. How are you?
Good to speak with you. New Year's Eve, do you have a Buckeye prediction for us tonight?
Well, I mean, I hope the Buckeyes win, but as in any game lately, it seems like those teams that we expect to win always struggle. So we'll see what happens, but it should be a good game, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Representative Renacci, first thing I wanted to talk to you about was the year that was. Donald Trump, President Trump, retook the White House in January. It's been a very interesting year. You were one of the first, if not the first, politician to endorse President Trump way back in 2015. What do you make of his return to the White House this year?
Well, look, his return is really because of what was going on for the 4 years prior to that. I mean, President Biden was running the country into the ground. The border was wide open. And I think those were the things that actually got President Trump reelected to a second term. Now, let's look at what he's done. He's closed the border, and that's been the most positive thing I think he can put up because he did. This is one of the things he said he was going to do, and he got done. The problems he's running into, of course, are how he's getting some of these things done, and the tariffs, and the economy. Those seem to be a drag right now on his ability to really move the needle as far as popularity, and that right now is probably his biggest issue after a year. He did accomplish a few things, got the tax cuts extended. Those are all positives, but right now people are still hurting and the economy is still a drag that he's going to have to deal with over the next 9 months.
Well, that was an interesting question a lot of people were asking themselves over the recent holiday season, the Christmas holiday. Are they better this year than they were last year? What is your answer to that question?
Well, look, I think prices of food are still up there. I think there's some concerns in that area. Are there some people better off than they were last year? Yes. Are there some people worse off? Yes. I think the majority of people are going to say they're not better off. Some are in the same position they were last year. Some are worse. I've said this many times on other shows that I've presented on, is that look, the wealthier have done well. The market has gone up. So from that standpoint, there's a positive if you have a 401k or if you're invested in the market. If you are in the stage of class where you're struggling every day and you're on Medicaid or Medicare, you've probably done about the same because that's just the norm. And then the real problem is the middle class. They have not been able to gain any ground. They are living, I've seen statistics, 24% are living paycheck to paycheck. That's a real issue, and that is a big chunk of the voters that will be considering who to vote for in November of 2026, which isn't that far down the road. So that's going to be the real key.
Well, that being said, Ohio has been a pretty red state since President Trump became president the first time. And here we go into an election cycle. Sherrod Brown is running again against John Husted for senator. We've got the gubernatorial race this year, Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy. Is this going to impact those races if the national economy does not turn around?
Well, absolutely it is. And look, I've said that 2026 could be 2018 all over. And I ran for Senate in 2018. I was the Ohio Republican nominee. And it was in a strong headwind. It was a D+8 year. We lost the House. We lost the Senate. We lost a majority of seats around the country. And, of course, I lost to Sherrod Brown in a D+8. Now, what happened just last November is we were in a R+6 or 7. That's a much more positive atmosphere to run in. Today we're probably D5, D6. So the trend is the Democrats have a little bit of a tailwind. And if that holds up to November, it's going to be a real tough year for Republicans if that's the case. So we already have, it's already a... 2 years, it'll be 2 years after President Trump was elected, which that has always been a bad year for the party in power. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. But here's the positive. There's 9 months, 10 months left to change things, and President Trump will be the leader of that change. It's either going to be positive or negative by the time we get to November.
For people who really liked President Trump's first term back in 2016, 17, 18, and now we're looking at the second term, what are the big differences? Is this better? Is it the same? Is it worse than the start of his first term?
Well, I can tell you his first term, of course, I was there. I did endorse him in 2015, one of the first few people to endorse him because I knew we needed something different. We did get the Tax Cuts and Jobs Bill passed in 2017 with him as president, but we were also able to hold him back from these tariffs. So the big change really is that he now has some people around him who aren't as, what I should say, vocal to try and say, Mr. President, we shouldn't do some of these things. And I know that in 2017, he had a number of people in his cabinet that were telling him tariffs would not be good for the country. And he really only used the tariffs in his battle against China. He did not do an across-the-board tariff with all these other countries. So the big difference that I see between his first term and his second term is he's put some, what I would call, more people, what's the word I want to use? He put people around him that are more yes people and won't confront him. And at the same time, he has pushed tariffs pretty heavily across the world, which that's the big difference between, you know, his first term and this term is that he has become very adamant on these tariffs, which I've said all along. I told him in 2017, so this is no different than I say today, sitting on a Ways and Means Committee, I said that the tariffs are really a consumption tax. They're a tax to the consumer, and it's one of the reasons why our prices have gone up this year is because the tariffs have been laid in as a cost of the product.
You know, a lot of people say what you just said. Why can people like yourself not get through to him this time?
Well, again, I think what's happened is he does not have the people around him that he used to have. He's changed. If there's one big thing, he has put loyalists more around him than actually people that I would consider qualified. Now, he does have some qualified people around him, so I don't want that to be a blanket statement. But, you know, I think there were more people willing to say, Mr. President, you shouldn't do this. Mr. President, you can't do this. Look at the numbers. That's not happening anymore. I mean, they are sitting back and allowing him to continue to do this because this was, I hate to say it, it was a signature issue for him in 2017, but people around him told him it'd be best not to do it. It's a signature issue again for him, but he has people around him who really are letting, you know, they're not stepping up and saying, hey, we've got a problem with this.
Mm. If you were to try to get a hold of him now, you were pretty friendly with him at one point, would you be able to get a hold of him?
Yeah, it's just a lot more difficult. I mean, I do have his phone number. I have not talked to him in a long time. And he has a lot more people protecting him. So it's much, much more difficult to get in touch with him. And that's also part of the problem. He does not have the opportunity to talk to a lot of people out in the field. And I think that what's happening with President Trump is he's hearing from the insiders who really want him to do certain things, and he's not getting all the information, which I think is also another problem.
Hmm. If you were able to talk to him, do you think he would take your advice at this point?
Well, the one thing I learned about President Trump when I was in office and had many opportunities to sit next to him, whether it was in the car or Air Force One, he sticks to his guns. He's pretty adamant on what he wants to do, which in some ways is a good quality. Unless you're going in the wrong direction, it's a bad quality. So I'm not sure he would listen, especially if I tried to talk to him about tariffs, because that's one thing he really believes in and would tell me I'm wrong. So That key issue, I doubt that he would listen to me or anybody else. In 2017, there were five or six people standing around him telling him tariffs would be bad. Mnuchin, Cohen, myself, others. And I think because there was such a large number of people saying this would be a bad thing, he did listen.
Have you tried to reach out to him in this term?
I have not.
Is there a reason for that?
Now, look, I think the president is going to continue to make the decisions he feels is best for the country. He does have some people around him, and I think that at this point, it's going to be up to him to either make things better or lose the midterms. And I think that everything will ride on the president, depending on what he's able to do with the economy. Now, I do give President Trump one big credit. He is a master of making sure that he gets his message out, and he'll have 10 months to do that, and it'll be interesting to see if he's able to accomplish it.
One big issue that's fast approaching, first of the year, which is tomorrow, 22 million people's health care subsidies will expire. No deal has been made as of yet. No plan has been presented by the Republican Party as of yet to combat this. How do you think this is all going to play out?
I think in the end, the Republicans are going to go ahead and allow the subsidies to be extended for a period of time. I don't think they have enough time to get back and fix this. So you'll see an extension. You know, it'll depend on how long that extension is, whether it's a year or 2 years. The problem with Washington, D.C., Scott, and one of the reasons I got out of there is that's what they love to do. They will kick the can down the road until they have to catch the can again and then kick it another time. I said this in December. One of the things they should have done is just said, hey, we're all staying here until we come up with a health care plan. And if we got to work through Christmas, we got to work through Christmas, because those are the only two times that you get things accomplished, when the deadline occurs or when a holiday occurs, because in both of those cases, people want to get home. And I think that would have been the best time to come up with a plan. Instead, everybody went home, we kicked the can down the road, and I have to believe in January we'll kick it down the road again.
You know, Representative Renacci, one thing that confuses people about this particular issue is the government was shut down. It was shut down over this one issue. The Democrats said if the Republicans came to the table on this one issue, they would open back up the government. They eventually opened back up the government. The Republicans said, Speaker of the House Johnson said, that we have a plan. If you open back up the government, we'll show you the plan. We'll give you the plan. And here we are on the eve of the subsidies expiring and no plan. And if what happens tomorrow or in the very near future is what you say will happen, why not just do that back in October and not shut the government down? It sounds like they're going to be doing the exact same thing they could have done.
Well, I agree with you. Look, Speaker Johnson, I believe, made a horrible move. I was not happy with it. I, you know, had publicly said the Speaker needs to get back. He needs to bring the Congress back. They need to be working on things. Even if they didn't want to vote on opening the government, they should have gone back. I believe, and again, this is my assumption, the only reason they didn't go back is they were working on trying to stop the Epstein vote from going forward, and they were working on the four Republicans who had signed the discharge petition. I believe if that wasn't the case, they may have gone back. But look, this was a really bad move for Speaker Johnson. He is now going to pay as we move forward, because people are going to say, you had 50-some days to get back to Washington, and you decided to let everybody stay home on an extended vacation. That's going to be the talking point that really hurts Speaker Johnson going forward.
Why do the Republicans not have a health care plan? I mean, this started back in 2015, 16, 17, John McCain voting the famous vote in the middle of the night, thumbs down, to not repeal and replace Obamacare because a new plan was not in place. healthcare is constantly being talked about, and here we are more than 8 years later, and there still is no Republican plan to replace Obamacare. Why is that?
Well, the real problem is there's no real easy answer. And again, Republicans and Democrats know that. You got to remember, Democrats were in power as well, and they did not come up with a revised plan. They just extended and increased subsidies, which is not the answer. It's just causing health care costs to skyrocket, because when you have a subsidies, the insurance companies and the providers of care will just use those subsidies up. So there's no competition in the system. Everybody knows, and we know, even when I was in Congress, that you have to bring a competitive plan to the marketplace. And right now, nobody wants to do that because, let's face it, competition will hurt some people. And changes in the healthcare system will hurt some people. And nobody wants to take that chance because everybody wants to get reelected.
Want to come to Ohio here in our last 15 minutes, because we do have a gubernatorial race coming up in about 11 months here. It's a very interesting one. On the Democratic side, it looks like we're going to have Amy Acton. And right now on the Republican side, it looks like we're going to have Vivek Ramaswamy. Before we get to that, I want to get to the current governor, Governor DeWine. He's making a lot of decisions as of late, speaking out on a lot of things. You ran against Governor DeWine in the primary in 2022 for governor. When people look back on Governor DeWine and in the last 4 years, what do you think they're going to say about him?
Well, those that voted for him are going to say he did a good job. Those that voted against him, which, by the way, were the majority of Republicans, are going to say he did a horrible job. When I ran against him, I ran on a plan to advance Ohio. And let's look. The numbers and statistically show we have not advanced Ohio. In fact, we've fallen back again in many categories. So, you know, my goal was to make Ohio one of the top 10 states in the country. Today, we're still floating between 35 and 45th statue and status. So from that standpoint, Governor DeWine just was a governor. And he did some things that, in my opinion, and again, I'm biased because I ran against him knowing that this was going to happen. He did not move the state forward. He did not move the needle forward. Businesses, you know, they'll say, well, we cut taxes, but we've increased property taxes so much that now we have this group trying to eliminate property taxes, which should occur. We should eliminate it for some people. I mean, this is such a terrible issue that you can live in your house for 30 years and you continue to pay the government not only the original amount, but four or five times the original amount just to stay there. You're leasing your house from the government right now, which is a real problem. So I don't think Governor DeWine has made it a better Ohio. It's either status quo or gotten worse, and that's from somebody who really watches and looks at the numbers. So I think it'll be good to move forward from him with a new perspective, whoever that is, and hopefully their perspective is to move the state forward.
Want to talk about the Republican candidate so far, Vivek Ramaswamy. A lot of people wanted Jim Tressel to get in this race. At one point, Coach Tressel, Lieutenant Governor Tressel, said he was thinking about it. And then the state party came in and endorsed Vivek Ramaswamy, as did President Trump. And it kind of ended that for Coach Tressel and Dave Yost. Do you think the state party should have done that?
Well, absolutely not, and I was vocal against that. I think that that's a big mistake. You know, it's funny. Republicans complained that the Democrat Party stepped in and made the decision as to who their nominee would be when President Biden was stepping down, and everybody said that's a terrible thing for them to do. Republicans were adamant about that. Well, Republicans just turned around and did the exact same thing. Now, as a Republican, I actually condemned that action. As a party chair in Medina, we actually did a resolution against it. But the Ohio Republican Party made that decision, and I think it was a mistake because it just hurts. It actually hurts the nominee because what they've done is they've cleared the field, they've allowed no competition, and Vivek has a strong message, but now that message has been tampered down because he had nobody to compete against.
What do you make about Vivek Ramaswamy, or make of Vivek Ramaswamy on the whole? A lot of Republicans in the rural counties where Republicans have to win do not seem happy to vote, or as happy to vote, for a Vivek Ramaswamy as they were for a Mike DeWine or a John Kasich.
Well, let's face it, they don't know him. The name causes some people some issues, like the name Renacci. I mean, I was surprised how many people did not like the last name Renacci, and now we got Ramaswamy. So that's a problem. But the other thing, people just don't really know who Vivek Ramaswamy is right now. And yeah, they saw him on the national stage. They saw him talking about, some of these issues nationally. He still does a lot of national discussion, although he's focused his message now to the state of Ohio. The problem is he's only talking to Republicans. And by the way, I mean, I've had the opportunity to talk to him, and I've said that to him. Right now, you're talking to Republicans only, and the problem he's going to have in any candidate running. I mean, when I ran against Sherrod Brown in 2018, I won the Republican base. I lost the Democrats, but not as many as you would think. But the independents, the people who aren't paying attention, they didn't even know who I was. And polling showed that only 40% of independents knew who Jim Renacci was in 2018. That's the problem Vivek Ramaswamy is going to have in 2026. Independents don't pay attention till the end, but independents also make up a very large swath of the voters in the general election, and they're going to make the decision, and they're going to have to decide who's the better candidate, and it'll be interesting to see what they do decide.
You know, it's very interesting because this time it looks like we're going to have Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, we've never had an elected female governor here in the state of Ohio, and we've never had a non-white governor in the state of Ohio. Will this hurt Vivek Ramaswamy?
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, you could take apart both of those things. There are a lot of people that will not vote for a female president, a female governor. I think that's passing more and more. But there are those people, which still shocks me, that will not vote for the female. Now, on the other hand, there are a lot more female voters in the state of Ohio. So, that could be helpful. We'll have to see. The thing that's really going to hurt Vivek Ramaswamy is, you're right, he's not a normal candidate, and he's not Christian. And I do think, and I've told him that too, I've had the opportunity to speak with him a number of times and try and help him with his message since I ran in 2022, and he knows that's an uphill battle too. Once people know that he's not Christian, that becomes an issue that he has to be able to get by as well.
You know, and Representative Renacci, I hate to even have to ask this question, but somebody, Vivek Ramaswamy, practicing the Hindu religion, if can he win in those places like Marion County, Morrow County, Meigs County, by the numbers that you did in the primary? Those were a lot of the counties where you did very well in that primary election.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, but see, the interesting issue here is that the ORP has cleared the field. So now we have Vivek Ramaswamy, and I believe there's another individual that's getting into the race, but somebody who jumps in the race doesn't understand how voters vote for somebody they know and they like. And when you're an outsider that does not have name ID, it's very hard to get anyone to vote for you because they just don't know you. So it's going to be an uphill battle for anybody running against Vivek Ramaswamy, which is why I believe he wins the primary. I think his tougher job will be winning the general election, and that's going to be the real key. It's going to be November 2026.
You know, something else interesting in regard to the Republican Party and Vivek Ramaswamy, Dave Yost, who ran in the primary, is not willing yet to endorse Ramaswamy. And Governor DeWine, who gave an extensive interview late this year, I guess we still got one day left this year, said that he will endorse the Republican, but he's not ready to endorse Vivek Ramaswamy yet. He said they're just getting to know each other, and he wants to know where he stands on some of the issues that are important to him. That's a paraphrase. And in the same interview, Governor DeWine defended Amy Acton and said the decisions that were made during COVID were my decisions. So no one should blame someone else if they don't like it. The buck stops with me.
Yeah, I saw that interview and I thought it was interesting because actually, if they were made by him, they were made by Senator John Husted as well. That's the team. So it's going to be a very unique race this year because if you're going to blame Amy Acton for those decisions, then you got to blame Senator John Husted for those decisions. So there's going to be a fine line drawn with Republicans on how to really move this forward because, you know, I think Governor DeWine is going to say they were my decisions, our decisions. You know, if the governor is saying it's his decision, that means the lieutenant governor has to accept that responsibility as well. So those are going to be the issues that really make up this election coming forward. It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out over the next few months.
If the race were held today, who would win? Amy Acton, Vivek Ramaswamy.
Well, if the race were held today, I do think because there's such a strong push for a positive Democrat, I think it's going to be very, very close. I think Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy will be extremely close. I think Vivek wins in the end because people will recognize that Amy Acton shut down the government, she shut down business, she shut down schools, and that's the message that Vivek has to get out, and I think he will. On the other side, though, you know, that's why I say the tougher race is going to be the race between John Husted and Sherrod Brown, because people are going to have to decide, okay, well, if we don't like the person who shut down the government and shut down the schools, is John Husted that person we should not like? And that will be an interesting race. I actually think today, even though the polling might show a little different, that race would swing towards Sherrod Brown today. Now, John Husted does have 10 months to make his case, and hopefully he's able to do it. But you said something earlier. You said that Ohio is a Republican state. Ohio is really a Trump state. And you could see when Trump runs that he pulls Democrats, he pulls independents to vote for him, and everybody underneath him gets pulled along, which was what happened in 2024. If you look and see with Bernie Moreno, I mean, if it wasn't for Trump winning by 12 points, Bernie Moreno only won by 3.5. So that's going to be the real issue in 2026 is there's not going to be a Trump, President Trump pull. Same thing happened to me in 2018. You're going to have to make the best you can without the president pulling votes for the Republican Party.
For people who say in the Republican Party that we have had 16 years of Republican governors, that this is a Trump state, that President Trump has already endorsed Vivek Ramaswamy, that Amy Acton has no chance, she can't win this thing. What do you say to people who make that statement?
Well, I say you better be careful. Look, we just went through a election in November that actually, Democrats won across the state in local offices that were never expected, but they also won across the country. There were city council seats lost throughout the state of Ohio to Democrats that you would have never expected that to occur. So I think anybody who says that needs to be extremely careful. There's going to be a couple things that drive the November 2026 race. If for some reason the property tax issue does get on the ballot, then I think you're going to have a whole slew of people coming out that are not going to be pro-Trump. They're going to be pro-schools, and it'll be interesting to see how that reflects through the voters as well. So a lot can happen between now and November, including a Republican surge if the economy gets better. So I think politics are a 30 or 60-day game. They're not a 12-month game or 10-month game. This election and all these elections will be decided within 30 to 60 days of the primary, and then within 30 to 60 days of the general election.
A couple quick questions before we run out of time here. Are Vivek Ramaswamy and John Husted strong candidates?
Well, I think they have their positive qualities. I think John Husted would have actually been a stronger candidate for governor. He spent a lot of time in that state house, and he probably could have been a stronger candidate for governor than he will be for Senate. It's very difficult, no matter what anybody says, to jump into the U.S. Senate and defend yourself against a guy who's been around for many, many years. So that's going to be the issue for John Husted. For Vivek, it's really going to come down to he's got a lot of good ideas. And I think if the Democrats had put somebody else stronger against him, it might have been a tougher race. But I do think people are going to look at Amy Acton and say, she's the person who shut the schools down. She hurt my children. In the end, she's got a much higher bar to climb, and I think that's going to allow Vivek to actually win that election.
Representative Renacci, I wanted to ask you this. You ran for governor in 2022. You recently just finished out a term on city council. You, when called, you serve. Would you ever run for any of these offices? The filing deadlines are not there yet.
Well, I always say this. I never say never anymore because I never thought I would go back on city council, but I was asked to serve, and I did for 6 months. So my answer is I'm always willing to help where I can and change things where I can, and I would always be willing to do that if possible. So I never say never, but I'm not looking to do it right now. So we'll see what happens, and let's just hope. All I hope for is that we have a great Ohio and a better Ohio, and we move the ball forward from the Mike DeWine days, because I just believe Ohio lost 8 years' worth of ground that we could have been one of the top states in the country if we were moving forward in the right direction. So my hope is that that's where we end up, with a better and brighter Ohio.
So it would not be an impossibility that you could run for governor?
Well, nothing's impossible, that's for sure.
All right. Well, Representative Renacci, I hope you have a wonderful new year, and hopefully we'll talk again in the near future.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye. Former representative here in Ohio, Jim Renacci. I think that says quite a bit. We'll be back on this New Year's Eve right after this.
My grandmother didn't get angry at her. She just abided her. And